This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And the Virginia Cavaliers defeat the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Sorry, Red Raiders, but you put up a hell of a fight, man. Coming back down double digits in the last 5 minutes, and then getting up three, and then DeAndre Henry hits that three-pointer to send it to overtime. I was ready for more basketball in that game. Not just the overtime. I wouldn't have minded seeing more overtime. But Virginia takes care of business in the OT. They are the champions of college basketball just 1 year after losing as a one seed to a 16 seed. Tony Bennett has full-on redemption. And we'll talk about it today. There's a lot to break down from that game. Welcome in on a beautiful Tuesday here in the city of Houston. We are the Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. With you till 6 o'clock tonight, my name is Sean Pendergast. To my right is Richard Lord. Hey, Rich.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I think one of the questions we posed on the show yesterday had to do with the chances of last night's game going down as one of the all-time great championship games and a memory of a game other than a really ugly defensive struggle that didn't have a lot of drama. Well, it was the exact opposite of that. Forget the low scoring. It was high scoring. Forget the lack of drama. It couldn't have had more drama. And in a tournament that culminated last night with that win by Virginia, Sean, it occurred to me that this year was a tournament particularly bereft of Cinderella stories, right? I mean, yeah. Oregon was the only double-digit seeded team to make it to the Sweet 16, and they weren't exactly...
They were Pac-12 champs.
Maryland, Baltimore County.
No, they were Pac-12 champs. Yeah, no, Sweet 16 was all 4-1s,
yes.
All 4-2s, all 4-3s, 2-4s, a 5, and a 12.
So in a tournament really lacking a true Cinderella. Look, I know Virginia was a number one seed. I get it. They're not really a Cinderella story. But if you combine the whole narrative of coming back from the historically bad loss in the first round last year to ultimate redemption winning a championship, along the way, playing three straight games where in the final seconds, your win probability was somewhere between either 5 or 10% or around 20%. In the Purdue game with 5 seconds to go, win probability 8%. Final Four versus Auburn, 2 seconds left, win probability 7%. Last night with 22 seconds to go, down three, win probability 24%. Not the textbook definition of a Cinderella, but certainly an underdog story.
Yeah, in a way, you're certainly underdogs in those last few seconds.
That's my point.
The waning moments of those games, no doubt about that. They showed a moxie that they didn't have last year in the first round of that tournament.
When down and almost counted out, they prevailed in three straight games.
That's interesting you bring that up, Rich, because I think this is why it's going to be so memorable for Virginia people. And we'll get to the Texas Tech side of this in just a second. But I think back to the Astros winning that World Series in 2017. And I think in an ideal world, especially in a postseason where it's seven-game series, it's night in, night out of just excruciating, stomach-turning stress, is that you would rather your team win each series in a sweep or in five games just to keep the general stress level down in the moment. I think in this tournament, you'd rather be rooting for a team in the moment that's, especially a one seed, that's winning games by 10, 15, 20 points. Now, Virginia is never going to be wired to blow out teams. In some ways, Rich, it's a function of how they play basketball that they find themselves in situations against very good to really good teams where they do have a win probability that they've got to overcome in some way. But I think Virginia fans who've had to endure this embarrassment of their team and their school losing to a 16 seed for over a year now, let alone the players and the coaches who've had to endure that embarrassment, the guys who are actually doing the heavy lifting on the floor, I do think the championships like this one are looked back at more fondly, are looked back at more memorably. And I think to the Astros, you know, that if the Astros didn't have to come back to Minute Maid Park down 3-2 with Verlander on the mound, and he goes out and wins an ALCS MVP in the ALCS, if they didn't have to overcome being down 1-0 in the series with Marwin Gonzalez in the ninth inning to get to Kenley Jansen, if you didn't have one of the greatest postseason games ever played in Game 5, and then if you didn't have to go to seven games to win that series and win a Game 7 on the road, I don't know that you savor the championship as much.
Those things, yeah.
And I think Virginia fans are going to be savoring this championship, not just because it's a title, but because they're going to look back at those games you just outlined, those win probabilities, Rich, and they're going to be talking about it for decades.
It's that type of stuff that adds so much drama to an already compelling narrative. So, yeah, there's no doubt some really unforgettable stuff. And you know what else often accompanies a game where you're going to look back 20 years from now and think about what a classic night last night was in the history of the NCAA tournament? When there's a very identifiable both hero and GOAT. And Jared Culver is going to be an incredible pro. He's going to make a lot of money. But unfortunately for him, representing his hometown school out of Lubbock, Texas, he's the GOAT of last night's game, not only because of his inability to get anything going offensively until the second half, but ultimately with 2 3-point attempts to win the game and coming up short on both of those. But he's the guy who left Hunter alone in the corner for the game-tying three when all they had to do was allow Jerome to roll into the paint, make a layup for a 2-point shot, and you're
foul.
Foul, maybe not. I'd rather just give up the layup and be up one with the basketball. I mean, that's a great scenario.
Because you're afraid of them missing the shot, like what happened with Virginia against Purdue?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. But, you know, I realize three Texas Tech defenders very uncharacteristically collapsed on Jerome when the obvious play was to prevent anyone from making a 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. But it was Culver more than any, and I feel bad for the kid, and obviously Hunter with what he did from 3-point range. Even though Guy was the MOP of the Final Four, Hunter was the hero last night.
Yeah, some guys made some money last night, no doubt about that. And I think Culver's going to be a lottery pick. It's unfortunate. I mean, if he doesn't hit that three-point shot in the semifinals to kind of close out Michigan State in that
game, he's a great player.
Then, I mean, that was not last night,
in the Final Four.
That was his only shining moment in the Final Four, was hitting that three-pointer to close out Michigan State in the semifinal. Other than that, these last two games were pretty disastrous for Jared Culver. I don't think it's going to hurt his draft stock. No team in the NBA, even a bad team, is asking him to come in and carry the team offensively like maybe Texas Tech. Although Texas Tech has a few other guys, but he's not going to be the alpha dog right away on any team. The other big thing coming out of this game, Rich, I feel is a topic that's right up your alley because I know you're a replay enthusiast.
Instant replay, big factor.
What did you think of the call? And for those, just to refresh, in overtime, a little over a minute to go, I believe it was David Moretti who had made a steal and was getting control of the basketball in Virginia's end of the floor, down two.
Hunter, did Hunter reach in?
I'm not sure who reached in, but a Virginia player reaches in, pokes the ball away. And it was a play that if it were at any time other than the last 2 minutes of the game, it would be Texas Tech side out, and I don't think anybody would even be arguing it. That would be
agreed.
The call. However, it's the last 2 minutes. They go to replay. The ball, even though it was poked away by the Virginia defender, did roll off of Moretti's pinky last and roll out of bounds. By the letter of the law, it's the right call. Yeah. It touched him last, but I'm a big spirit of the law guy in that situation, Rich.
Yeah.
They administered a rule differently in the last 2 minutes than they do the other 38 minutes of the game. I don't like it.
Bruce Pearl could say the same thing about Saturday's game when they allowed a lot of physicality and then called the foul on the Kyle Guy shot at the end of the game. But I know it's less compelling when you and I agree, but I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. If it's possible to be okay with the call but not like the call, that's how I feel. Because like you just said, it was once they got all the angles – and it was pretty clear that Moretti was the last guy to touch the basketball. It was hard to argue with what they called on the floor. And let's remind
by the letter of the law, it was hard to argue.
And let's remind everyone, at the time, Virginia's up two. There's a minute six to go in overtime. They wound up going to the free throw line after getting the ball and wound up taking a parade of free throws and making all of them. And from that point forward, sealing the game.
12 for 12 in overtime.
So it was an instrumental point in the overtime. There's no doubt about it. So while you can't argue with the fact that Moretti was the last player to touch the ball, that's never a ball that goes to the defensive team. That ball, when the defensive player initiates the poking of the ball out of bounds, it automatically goes to the other team, even though if you've got the right replay angle, it might reveal it not to be the right call.
They need to, in my mind, Seth brought this up this morning, and I thought it was a brilliant observation. They need to rewrite the rule because by the letter of the law, the rule says whoever touches it last before it goes out of bounds. On a play like that, it should be up to the referee, whichever team applies the momentum to push the ball out of bounds.
There should be consideration for context on the play. I totally agree.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't like that. And that, I'm not going to say it decided the game, but to your point, Rich, it swung the game from a one-possession game.
It was a nail in the coffin kind of for Texas Tech. It was a big chance for them that was as close as they got from that point forward.
When you all of a sudden are in a game in the last minute that's no longer a one-possession game against a defensive team like that and a team like that that shoots free throws, you're getting choked out. They just injected you with the lethal injection and you're dying for the next minute is what you're doing.
And if you're a Texas Tech fan looking for a little good news, Mick Cronin took the UCLA job. Yeah. Chris Beard apparently is not going anywhere.
Your team played long enough to let the musical chairs play out. That might be the biggest win of the tournament for Texas Tech. Well, they won long enough to keep their coach from being able to interview for other jobs.
No doubt about it, and you can never say never. Who knows what's going to happen? But for the time being, Chris Beard is staying put.
I don't think he'll take the Cincinnati job. Only Tommy Tuberville leaves Texas Tech to go to Cincinnati.
What if Shaka gets fired unexpectedly?
Well, then that would make some interesting. That would make for some interesting
scenario
fodder.
I have in mind.
Yep, absolutely. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.